Kevin, we have got this down to a science now.
I got Kim's timing down.
What song is this?
This is Ima Sumac. Penn Jillette, for his Penn & Teller shows, would use this as intro music. Bill and I were at a Penn & Teller show, and we forgot about this song. And her name is Ima Sumac. It's Amy spelled backwards, Y-M-A.
I love it.
And it just inspires Bill and I to do a great stream of consciousness show here on the Bonus Hour. You're Frank Fontana filling in for Bill Leff, so I'm hoping you're getting the same inspiration.
I'm feeling the vibe. I thought it was first a Baba Booey spoof from the Howard Stern show.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. It's just ba-ba-ba-ba-booey-ba.
I can't believe Howard is not using that for Gary Delabate.
Yeah. How about that career, huh? Oof.
To be Baba Booey or just Howard Stern?
That whole thing, man. What a time in radio to, you know, like, explode the way they did. And now knowing what we know about streaming radio and you know, Howard was ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
It almost has passed him, though.
Yeah, I know that.
Were you a fan?
Yeah, oh, I am a fan to this day. But I have a potty mouth, and what does Bill say about me? I swear more than anyone he's ever met.
can we curse on this?
No, don't. Okay. I mean, you can, but I'm not going
to. You can get fired, but not me. I'm not
not doing it. But yes, Bill says I swear more than anyone he's ever met, which is really, it's really not true.
I've only heard you swore twice today. That wasn't a lot, and not on air.
No, and I don't do it on air, which is funny because when you are not on terrestrial radio, even on the stream, we could if we wanted to, but I've been on the air for 31 years. Whenever a microphone's in front of me, I have learned not to swear. Sometimes you're at live events. You know not to do that.
Sure, you got to filter yourself.
So it's kind of weird for me to hear Howard just laying them down right and left.
But that's his thing.
I know, but it doesn't.
But I mean, that was the whole beauty of, and still is, the beauty of podcasting, internet radio, is the Wild West, as he called it. The ability to say what you want, how you want, when you want.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like, it's even too much for me, if you can believe that.
Well, how do you feel when for instance, today we're talking about these political hot topics with Trump and all that. And
President Trump, Frank,
people
will be upset.
I'm sorry.
He is our president.
Mr. President Donald Trump. Do you ever feel like you can't fully say what you want to say in fear of the lashback?
Yes, and there will be, and it's 312-235-2525. Feel free to comment on anything. Yeah, I mean, I will flat out admit I did not vote for President Trump. I didn't. But there's nothing I can do about it now. I don't understand people making a big stink about it, because what's going to become of it?
Sure. But I listening to WGN, and I do throughout the day. I love your show, and I listen to Ro and Steve and everybody here. I feel like, for the most part, this is a pretty anti-Trump broadcast, for the most part. I don't know. I haven't heard a radio host on WGN yet defend Trump in any manner.
It's difficult for people to defend him anyway. I mean, right. And this is where I frequently throw this out there. Again, 312-235-2525 is our number to call. Do you still support him? Maybe he was your guy. And yeah, let's shake things up. I can't say I was opposed to that theory.
Neither was I. I agree.
I just, expected someone in the, you know, top office in the land, to behave more appropriately. And I guess you knew what you got coming in, because this is how he is.
And you get very few celebrities who actually verbally get out there and support Trump. And one actually surprising did today on the news on Drudge Report, Jeff Bridges.
You told me this off the air, and I'm still not sure that I understand the story. So please share with us.
Yeah, so Jeff Bridges went on, I guess, social media and posted this story right here. Bridges, you know, takes Trump's... he says his quote is, "I'm rooting for Trump." And he takes his chilled approach to in a heated political rhetoric. Jeff Bridges played a president in The Contender, a political flick released nearly two decades ago in the wake of President Bill Clinton's White House scandals. But when it comes to critiquing the role of today's real life president, Bridges is a lot more laid back than some of his fellow celebrities. The dude. You know, he plays the dude in The Big Lebowski, which I understand that potentially is a remake coming out, or a The Dude 2.
Should be Baby Dude.
Baby Dude, the prequel.
I would like that. There's a lot of baby movies out there.
He likely wouldn't be dangling a severed head in the likeness of President Donald Trump as comedian Kathy Griffin came under fire for.
She should have come under fire for that, but that's another story.
Every week there's something new about Trump and, or President Trump, I'm sorry. The dude joked killing the president as Johnny Depp recently did. Griffin and Depp are later apologizing. Everybody has something different and unique to contribute to society and with different ways of doing it. Bridges said in an interview.
So is he for him or is he just rooting for him to be successful?
Well, here's a quote. He says, some people will be blatantly out there talking about their disappointments and ridiculing the way the President Trump is acting, said Bridges, who supported Hillary, interestingly enough, last year in the election. I'm rooting for him to do well in our country.
So am I.
Right.
I mean, because if he does well, then we all do well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm hopeful and I'm rooting for him to be successful. I just don't see that happening.
Well, then he goes on to say, I'm rooting for him as a human being to do the cool thing. That's a dude statement right there. Bridges said as he pivoted back to his work against childhood hunger, which, every one of these actors who come out and want the publicity, I think other than Kathy Griffin, have an angle. He's promoting childhood hunger and there's a bill on the table that, could affect his agency he's working with. So he's out there trying to drum up
to be part of the news cycle. Yeah. You get your name out there.
Yeah. So, I think it's an innocent thing, but,
the headline though? Isn't it the headline
it's an AP story. Bridges takes chilled approach to heated political rhetoric.
Oh, okay. The fact that he is rooting for Donald Trump, I guess, in a weird way, we kind of all are. But then if you've just awakened today because it's summer vacation, a couple of tweets that went out early this morning, President Donald Trump attacked Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski this morning, insulting Mika's physical appearance in two unmistakably sexist tweets. The first one, I heard poorly rated Morning Joe speaks badly of me, then in parentheses, don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika, along with Psycho Joe, came to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no. Can I just tell you, I have never had a facelift. I am not opposed to anyone getting one. Perhaps if I was on television, I would as well, although it looks like it would hurt.
Didn't Trump have many?
I don't know, but if you're if you're a familiar face and you get a facelift, aren't you going to kind of stay under wraps and in your own apartment until it heals so people aren't saying something like, oh, what'd you do?
Your face is bleeding. right. It's a little weird. I don't know anybody who's a public figure celebrity who would go out to a place like I've been to Mar-a-Lago. It's a very high
profile. What's it like?
It's a palace. It's amazing. I mean, Palm Beach in itself is gorgeous. It's, you got to imagine 10% of the nation's wealth lives on that little island. And, at the pinnacle of it all is Mar-a-Lago. It oversees, the intercoastal. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous monstrosity. And everybody wants to go there. I mean, the who's who's there. So for him to put that out there, like he denied them entrance to his palace, is that story confirmed? Do we have that yet? Is that a real story?
Brzezinski appeared to respond to the president's tweets with an image of a Cheerios box that said, made for little hands. Because that is really bugging him. He does have little hands.
I've been seeing...
Which means nothing other than he has little hands.
Well, is it the same thing as big feet?
Yeah, you wear big shoes.
You wear big shoes,
it's
right?
It's a fallacy. The White House stood by Trump's tweets Thursday. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the president's principal deputy press secretary, said Trump fights fire with fire.
I don't know if that's fire with fire. That's like...
That's rude. It's sexist.
And it's playground. It's playground banter and fighting like you would if you were children. I can't imagine our president engages in this.
Well, that's what upsets me, and it's extremely sexist. Melania Trump, our first lady, is strongly against cyberbullying. That's pretty much what this is.
Right. It's a contradiction to what she's standing for.
Ivanka Trump is a strong, independent businesswoman who I don't know why she can't go, Dad, really?
I'm sure she does, but then he's probably like, go to your room.
Can he still do it?
I mean, what are you going to tell your... It's not only your dad, but he's, the president.
I know, and I do have respect for The Office. Jill has called us, 312-235-2525. Jill, you have some comments?
Yeah, you know I do. I didn't vote for him. I've probably spent 20 years actively disliking this guy. But the thing of it is, this isn't a high school basketball game. You aren't on one side or the other. We're all on the same side. We want him to succeed. We want him to see what he can do to make our... I think our country's just fine. I don't really like the great be great again. I thought it was great before. I think we have a strong military. He seems to try and high school coach people who maybe don't pay as much attention to politics as they should. And I dislike that whole we're better than anybody kind of attitude that he has. But in the same sense, he's a very polarizing person.
But you say you respect The Office. He is our president. But then when a tweet comes out like this, I hate to keep saying this because, you know, typically presidents act like presidents. Right. But this is not the way someone in control of our country should be acting, especially there's chemical warfare going on in Syria right now. There's a health care reform that's not going anywhere. It's like this seems so trivial and stupid.
Immature. It just seems immature. That's what it is.
Jill?
You know, and I agree totally with your analysis of all of this, but we can't control what he says. He's kind of like that bully kid on the block that you stay away from as long as you possibly can.
Yeah, but then that bully gets stronger if you don't do something about it. And I don't.
Wendy, I think he's going to shoot himself in the foot time after time after time after time.
And it never happens.
Well, we've had Ellicott statesmen. We've had Mr. Obama. We've had both Bushes. Even Mr. Clinton can be very, very eloquent. He's incapable of being eloquent.
I guess you got a point, Jill. I mean, the guy is who he is, you know, and he speaks how he speaks. He was like this before.
Yeah.
You would just think, one would think, if you take such a high-powered position as the president of the biggest corporation in the world, that you would represent yourself with ethics and morality and you know, like, in a way that portrays, hey, this is how the rest of America is. He's setting a precedent.
You know, I have to tell you, so many times when I see these tweets, and I mean, I just read it in the paper. I'm not a tweeter. I think of Mike Myers in one of those fake 007 movies where he's Mr. the bad guy with his fingers templed together. I just think Donald Trump does the same thing.
Okay, but you're laughing about it. This is our president. And may I just ask you, because, you know, if I'm in a room with clients, I will behave differently than if I'm hanging out with my friends. So, you know, you have to show a better side of yourself. And you would expect the president of the United States to do that.
You know, I totally agree with you. I do. But he's not that person. And he's not going to change. And that's, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
So do we embrace it and respect it?
No. We wait for him to shoot his foot off.
We just don't behave like that.
Yeah.
Don't get sucked into that big black hole of bad behavior. When you go to parties, you can tell the people who really like them, and you don't go down that path.
No, I stop talking. You know, if I can tell somebody is a fan of his, and I am certainly not, I just will change the conversation and don't touch that subject because it's just going to end in a fight or somebody walking out or ruining someone's night.
That's, you know, so many times when people come into my office and I have to turn around when they start talking about stuff like this, I have to turn around and go, okay, get out.
I just can't help.
And laugh.
I just can't help but to think, you know, for the generations before this of, you know, the young kids coming out of school and the teachers are like, you know, one day you too could be president.
Well, now anybody can.
What are they saying now where they're watching their president do these bullying tweets and immature tactics? Is that a representation of what children should aspire to do and be?
I think the kids are just excited that our next president will be Kanye, so then things will change again.
Right. It's going to be so much better. Isn't this the first president who hasn't had a law degree in I don't know how long?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I don't know how long. And I think when you're in that particular type of schooling, being taught to be respectful is part of the training, and he just hasn't. His idea of respect and our idea of respect is different. However, I want him to succeed. I do not want him to succeed building a wall. I don't want him to succeed to further fissure our country. But, you know,
we're all in this together. Let's keep our...
If anything, it's a good circus to continue to watch.
Thank you for your call, Jill. Fingers are crossed.
Thank you. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say. I mean, on one aspect, Wendy, as a, celebrities, whatever you want to call them, us, you know, as personalities, it would be nice to kind of say what you just feel sometimes, you know, but you often hold back because you don't want to potentially ruin your career or have people dislike you to a degree where you're not popular anymore and no one wants to listen to your shows. And
yeah, but you can now. Evidently, you can say whatever you want and no consequences for it.
Well, if you're the president, you can, I guess. No. But you and I, you know, on low-level celebrity, can't. You know,
watch your mouth, Fontana.
Just watch your mouth.
All right. Frank is in for Bill Leff. We're going to take a quick break and then check out the news with Judy Pilak here on WGN. Thanks, Jude. It's Bill Leff on vacation. He's back on Monday when I will be off. I'm off tomorrow, too, I guess. Hey, buddy is going to be filling in
for
me.
Who's that, Pete McMurray?
Yes. Frank Fontana is here today. It's just kind of a revolving doors of guests. Are you out of here, Jude, or you want to stay? If you have work to do.
I do.
All right. I just want to say yesterday you came in and said, you know, oh, it's breaking news about Miguel Montero, the catcher for the Cubs, is out of here. Can I just say that I think it's a good thing. He was bashing the pitching staff, specifically Jake Arrieta. Anthony Rizzo said, you know what? We win as a team, we lose as a team, and soon thereafter, Miggy's gone.
Did you hear Arrieta's response, though?
No, I did not.
Talk about a class act. He was like, you know what? He was frustrated. It's true. I probably wasn't at my best. He was so gracious, you know, and let him off the hook.
I caught the tail end of the story. So did he say this publicly?
Yes.
To a news outlet?
Yeah. Yes. After a game
interview?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate. But, I mean, it's like I feel bad, you know, for him. I know he shouldn't have said that, but it's like, I don't know. Again, this goes back to what we were just saying about politically
right.
incorrectness.
But look, at Miggy says something wrong, he's out of here. But President Trump can say
do anything.
No.
Right.
Yes. I know.
Yeah.
We're going to be saying that for four years. But here's the thing. He, I guess, and I don't know sports, but I've been hearing that he was terrible. I mean, he's blaming Arrieta, but really, he hasn't had
he's not had a good season.
Yeah, hasn't had a good season. He has only gotten out one person at base.
It was a good out then for the Cubs.
Yeah.
It was like
exactly.
their way of saying, all right,
exactly.
we don't have to fire this guy. He just fired himself.
Right. I think it's blown overboard and it was coming anyway, so.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean, it really is. And that's what Joe Maddon is trying to do is really make this one cohesive unit. That's what I love about the Blackhawks so much. They really seem like they hang together. They have, you know, nightly dinners with one another.
Well, you know what they always say about the Blackhawks and Jonathan? They compare Jonathan Taves to some NBA player, the biggest one, you know.
Kevin, do you
have anyone here?
LeBron James?
Maybe LeBron. So they did like 5 minutes of each of them speaking, and LeBron or whoever said, I. Not one time did Jonathan Taves say I. It's we.
Because
that's
a true team.
Yes, and in every sport.
And Madden's been so good at bringing them together as one cohesive unit. And I'm a Sox fan, I will say that right now. But, you know, there are not too many people to love on that team. And they don't seem like it's like, you know, someone from here and this guy's got this. It's not one, like the winning White Sox with Joe Creedy and Rowan and all these people, that was like a big group of people hanging out. But now there are a lot of eyes. So Joe Maddon's done such a great job of keeping them together. I think it's crappy that Miguel Montero said, you know, I'm blaming the pitching staff for this. I wish they didn't screw up. He complained to the media about starting pitcher Jake Arrieta's slow delivery, not giving him a chance to throw out base runners. It was pretty sick. The Nationals stole 7 bases in the Cubs 6-1 loss on Tuesday. And I know you're mad, but you know what? That's your teammate.
Yeah, I see. And I feel like that those comments to me say he's been bitter for a while.
And there could be some more going behind the scenes that we know not about, because that doesn't seem like completely worthy of just immediately being fired. I could see a reprimanding behind the scenes,
right.
Maybe a docking your pay.
So quick to do it.
Oh, yeah. So quick. It was almost like they were like, yes, here's our out.
Yeah, exactly.
We can finally get rid of him. You know,
maybe they were looking for an excuse.
And I maybe he knew it, too. I mean, bad season. He, like I said, to say that, you don't just say that off the top of your head. It's been brewing. It sounded to me like, ooh, that guy's kind of bitter about what's been going on.
So does he go to another team now, or is he done?
Yeah, he went somewhere.
Happens?
No, he got traded somewhere. Kevin, do you know?
Did he get traded already?
He was.
Yeah, if he's traded already, this
he
has been growing.
He was cut from the Cubs.
Right.
I thought I read
I think
somewhere.
He only had one. This was his last year anyway in his contract. So it was like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
I guess.
And the Cubs come out winning.
Exactly.
Again.
But
even off the field this time.
Yeah.
Listening to WGN, I don't want to hear, you know, Rose slamming Cochran. You know what I mean? I just, even if they don't hang out, you're there as a team to be successful.
And to promote this brand.
Yeah.
You know, that's what makes them the Cubs.
Well.
And the Sox too, Wendy. I'm going to a Sox game.
Well, that's why, remember, Chris Sale was sticking up for, I can never remember this guy's name, who, Adam Roche, he was there with his son Drake, and Drake went to the locker room and to practice and stuff with them, and Chris Sale stood up to management and said, hey, you know, his kid's awesome, if he wants to hang, that's fine, it's not disturbing me. So that was something that I thought was bad, where he's standing up to management, like, mind your own business.
Right.
And then, remember, they had these new jerseys that he went and he cut up in the locker room,
right.
And gone, and that guy is one of the best pitchers out there, but it's like you can't have that,
and they know that. So when they do that kind of thing,
you gotta think something,
spout off and are cut up,
there's more to
the
story.
Care. Yeah, there's more to the story, and they know the consequences. So
I'm gonna pull Steve Bertrand's headphone jack out while he's talking and mess with him. I wonder what will happen to me.
That will be hilarious. Or no, when he comments, just look at him and then don't respond.
Wasn't there a fake beef between Roe and Steve when Roe came over to the network? I remember something going on there where there was a little bit of I don't know.
Maybe playful.
Playful beef, yeah.
But because I'll tell you right now.
Oh, no, they hate each other.
If there's a real beef, it's not going to come up on the air.
No, it's not. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
so,
I'm kidding. They love each other. Everyone at this radio station loves everyone else.
This is true. I've never been in such a great place.
Listen to the tune.
Where's the violin?
See, the people that talk so sickeningly sweet are the ones I don't trust that are stabbing me in the back.
I walk out this door and I can barely get out and I start talking
about
you.
Did you know what Wendy did today?
My God, did you see her?
It's so different because I come in on Sundays and then my show's from 1 to 3 every Sunday.
Nice plug. That was a nice
thank
slip
you.
It in.
And there's no money.
By the way, I love your show.
Thank you. I love when you're on it, too.
Me, too.
We just keep going back and forth.
Wendy, stop us.
Get a room. I'm leaving early.
But my point being is,
even get a studio. Come on.
It was weird coming here today because, and I often fill in for, you know, various hosts throughout the week. Coming on Sunday's nice.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody's here. I can, like, you know, just kind of kick my feet up.
Right.
Don't bump into anybody here. I'm bumping into, like, you know, executives.
But see, we love seeing people like you who we don't see normally, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Frank Montana's here.
The Weekenders.
Or we're like, hey, who's that?
Who's that guy? Right. Oh, yeah, he hosts a show here. Remember him?
But the Weekenders.
A lot of people really do like to have harmony in their office. And think about it. A lot of people do stuff as a group from their offices. We're at work more than we're at home.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, I'm pretty bad at participating in work-related activities outside of the studio.
We don't do enough.
But, you know, even like...
But you're here on the weekends.
I'm here on the weekends.
So. I live in the suburbs. Sometimes when there's a big after-work bash... I want to beat the traffic and get home sometimes.
So you get the invitation. I don't even get the invitation anymore.
I'll see what I can do.
Well, when you
don't put me
show,
on the list, because now I'm
going
to have to be like you and make excuses on why I'm
right
not going to go.
You're on the list. You're already there.
Dang.
Yes, people
I should have just kept quiet.
Maybe you don't understand. The people listen.
They do?
Yeah, the people who matter.
I wonder.
They're putting you on the list right now.
Jeez, Stephanie. I know she's listening right now.
Before he even calls her out.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, well, Jude, if you have to go back to the newsroom, thank you very much.
Nice seeing you guys. Frank,
seeing you. Come back soon.
Sundays. I'll be listening on the weekends.
All right. Hey, do you want to talk about this? So a new study came out of Scotland. Scottish researchers began their study with 75,000 men and women born in 1936 through 94. And the headline is Smart Kids Live Longer.
Really?
Yes. So they take the standardized intelligence test in 1947. By 2015, they were able to confirm a cause of death for 25,000 of them. while 36,000 were still alive and living in Britain. After controlling for many health socioeconomic and behavioral characteristics, they've discovered that the study found no association of lower intelligence with cancers not related to smoking or suicide, but there were strong associations with death by accidental injury. So the reason for the link are far from clear, and they don't know yet why intelligence from childhood or longevity are related, but they are finding that smart kids live longer.
Well, I mean, don't you think commonsensically you would say if you have a higher intelligence, you would know what bad things to avoid? Like, I'm not going to run out in front of a train.
Don't look down the barrel of a gun.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's interesting. I was hoping for a little bit more of a genetic, play in this. Is there something like, do you make smarter babies so they're going to live long?
Then you get into a whole thing. And I did read somewhere, and I'm going to have to look for it. But kids get their intelligence from their mothers. I
really?
Swear I read that somewhere.
Okay, well, this says that it's really about lifestyles, education, deprivation, and genetics may all play a part in this.
Well, isn't that, again, commonsensically, if you're smarter, you will know to do the right things.
Genetically, though, I mean, how do you know you're going to be, your child that you just gave birth to is going to be a really smart kid?
Well, you don't.
You hope.
And then how much of it, come on, your kids are in school, and when they get older, you'll see that there are kids that stay up till 4 in the morning studying nonstop to get good grades, and then you have other kids who just kind of wing it and still get great grades. I always feel sorry for the kids that have to work so hard for that.
I envy those kids who are so smart in school that just like were hanging out like me and they got like excellent grades and I got like B's.
Yeah, but B's are okay. And there's something that I learned as a parent. Straight A's are nice. And it's great to see your kid's name in the local paper that they made, the dean's list and, straight A's. My kids are both very smart, and their grades are not always that great. And I used to get upset about it. Our high school, the school kept sending me bumper stickers that, hey, your kid made the honor roll. And some of them, they were weighted classes because they were more advanced classes. I don't know how he made the honor roll. And I said, listen, I'll take a picture of that bumper sticker and I'll put it on my Facebook page, but I am not putting that on my car.
You didn't
car.
Put it on the bumper?
No!
Oh, that's such a South Suburban thing to do.
I have, I don't know how many he got. We probably have anywhere from 4 to 6 of, my kid is on the honor roll. I refuse to put that on my car.
You have talented kids, though. You really do.
I mean, thank you, Frank.
No, I mean that.
But I mean, I used to always get upset. I mean, honestly, they both should be straight A students. They're smart enough and they could do it, but they're never going to be. So at some point I kind of went, all right, well, and my little one Dylan starting high school in the fall, you're on your own now. You can only bitch so long about do your homework. But until they decide they got to do their homework, I gotta listen to Jimmy Mack go, I did my homework. I'm not gonna stay up and help you with this. If they ask for help, that's one thing. But to just sit there and nag, do your homework, it's not gonna make them do their homework anymore. Your kids are young enough where you have to nag.
Yeah,
and you have to help them.
Yes, I can't wait for that when I have to sit and do hours of homework with them. It's gonna be very exciting.
And you mentioned this, that, the smart kids live longer, smart people live longer. It seems to make sense to me, but I mean, when's the last time anybody's had an IQ test? I don't think I've had an IQ test.
I'm not sure. Do they even do that anymore in schools?
They used to do when we were growing up, it was the Iowa Test of Basic Skills. Now there are, the tests that they have.
Well, with the Common Core, they have their kind of entry test now that kids have to take, which is kind of that test. It determines what their abilities might be in this new way of learning. Now, I say new way of learning for us because we learned, I guess, the old way. But our kids, my kids, who are now 5 and 3, when they get into next year, Luke is starting at Cosset and middle school, he's doesn't know any different. So that's the way he learns.
And it was so interesting trying to help your kids with math homework because for a while there was this lattice thing. 312-235-2525, if you even know what I'm talking about. It was like lattice work. It's like you made what you'd put under your porch and you'd put numbers in there, and I couldn't help them with it because it's like we learned long division.
Right.
You put the number and then you put the divided by and you figure out how to do it. I couldn't help them. And it's funny because the school did this lattice work for math. And then surprisingly, a year later, they said, yeah, that's not going well. We're going back to the original style.
And now it's changing again for this, for the Common Core stuff. I'm not familiar if you're
calculators.
Kid, yeah, right. Exactly. But,
no.
You know, who knows what's going to be, you know, happening when my kid's in high school. I, you know, with the technology, and what should they be learning? I mean, coding is what they should be learning.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
And, you know, when you get to high school, you have to buy that $300 calculator. Kevin, do you remember, did this happen when you were in high school? I know you're the youngest of all of us. There was this, like, special Texas Instruments calculator,
yes,
that you had to buy, which was like $327.
I think it was only for certain classes, like elevated. Luckily, my sister was a smarty pants, and I just took hers.
Copied.
She was older than me.
You're
so,
a good copier?
Well, no, yeah, but no.
Yeah, because that was something terrible, the $327 calculator.
TI.
That,
yeah, it was like the TI.
Yeah. And you could, like, program it to put games on it. It's like, I don't care. Use the calculator on your iPhone.
I mean, back where I grew up in New York and went to school in New York out in the suburbs, like Long Island out east. And it was at a time where I could bribe my gym teachers. And I did. I used to
get out of class.
Gym, you would think would be the easiest class, but you know, the days where you had to run miles and they would time you and all that. I shouldn't feel like doing it. And I had a good relationship. I played soccer. I was like, you know, the captain of my soccer team. And I would bring, this is a true story, I'd bring bagels. My mom would get bagels in the morning that we were supposed to eat. And I'd sneak a couple in my bag. I'd put them in there. And then I'd bring the gym teachers bagels.
You would bribe
and
them with bagels?
I would
bagels?
Sit there and eat bagels with my gym teachers while all the other kids ran laps. I'd be like, oh, my ankle hurt. And we'd be eating cream cheese and bagels.
Okay, didn't you feel guilty?
Not at all. Are you kidding me?
Aren't you Catholic?
I was the kid selling candy in school. Yeah, I'm a Catholic.
Well, then how could you sit there breaking bread
repented.
With your coaches.
I repented after that.
Every kid dreads that mile, man.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Well, I didn't want to do that. I was running enough playing soccer. I just chilled. And
sounds like a future businessman to me. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I turned into a future businessman. I was capitalizing on my fellow students.
That's terrible. I had to go get doctor's notes for my kids to get out of the mile.
Not in New York, baby.
Just bring bagels. Why didn't you tell me this
cheese.
4 years ago?
I wish I could have.
That's like the most New York thing ever. You got your bagels covered. You got your bribery and scandal covered. Yeah, that's a very
some
nice
locks.
Story.
Bring some on the good days. I bring some locks. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Dave? Oh boy, we digress. We're on bagels and locks and children.
All right. Well, I don't know if there's anything we can do to make our kids smarter. And really, there's so much anxiety and depression in kids today because of all the homework they have. If my kids were not in sports, okay, they're not athletes, they're musicians, and one wants to be a director, so way into video. If you have sports and you have all these extracurricular activities, how in the world do you get all the homework done that they assign?
I don't know. I mean, my kids are still young. My son plays soccer and, like, you know, the YSL leagues and all that stuff. But my nieces and nephews, they're in 2 to 3 sports. And it's intense lacrosse, go to hockey, and I don't know, they don't have time for each other.
Right.
As a family to sit down and actually do anything. We don't even see them anymore. We used to see them all the time. We don't see them anymore. I don't know how they're getting their work done. And it's getting harder and harder.
I know, because when I went to high school, I mean, it was pretty easy, I gotta tell you. I mean, you could do minimal effort and get pretty
barely showed
grades.
Up. I it sounds terrible. I mean, I didn't. I ditched when we could. We were allowed to go off campus for lunch, and I would
really.
Me and my buddies would never come back. We would like find ways, and I would. You could pick your schedule towards the end, like in the last couple of years. And so I picked my dumb classes. I called them like the art and like
the creative,
the creative ones.
The ones
where I could. If I skipped, it wasn't going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
We go to my one buddy Jay's house, and we would like hang out, and we'd eat.
And it was pretty easy to get decent grades.
Oh, it was cake. I had every teacher in my pocket. And I hate to say it.
All right, well, you are a briber.
I'm not a briber. I'm a charismatic individual who allowed people to get close to me.
Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Kevin. See, Kevin appreciates this.
But, and, you know.
Just because you didn't, Wendy, don't get mad.
I know. I believe me, I did the least amount of work as possible to get, you know, A's and B's. It was pretty easy. So I look at these kids now, and it's like, I don't know how they do it. And rumor has it that the schools are taking into consideration the amount of homework, and they're going to cut it back this starting fall. But I don't know if that's really true. And I just, we don't have time for this, but do you really learn that much more doing homework? Like, for instance, math. If you are taught in class how to do this algebraic problem, and you have maybe, once you get it, you get it. So if you have five problems, you do it, and you're doing it all right, and it clicks, and you got it, you're done. It, why do you have to do 40 math problems that night then?
I know, you're talking to the wrong guy, because I am 100% agreeing with that. And I also believe that life experience is far more crucial than it is to learn a mathematical problem that you'll never encounter in your life, most likely.
All right, but you use math, and you use...
basic math. I'm not sitting here doing massive algebra problems.
You have to figure out the square footage for tile on the new floor.
My app does that for me.
Oh, I don't need
to do it anymore.
Pretty soon, I wish we had school on it, an app for school.
There is, I'm sure. I mean, you got ABC Mouse. You got, you know, there's plenty of stuff that are out there that's for that. You know, so I think, again, this is what I was saying earlier, is technology is changing the way our future is going to be, you know, the education and what social media is doing. We don't know what the world is going to be in even 10 years because of all this. So for me, my business has changed. My world has changed. So, no, it doesn't matter that I don't know, you know, 10-step algebra. And I don't think, for me, if I was given a choice for my children to say, Frank, you can send your kids to life school or you could send them to traditional school, I'd say life school.
Where's the life school?
And I mean, here, Montessori.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But that's just elementary, correct?
No, they actually have programs that run all the way to eighth grade now. Yeah, when it comes to high school, then you have to transition to a normal high school, I guess. But, maybe I live in a dream world. But
all right. Well, this brings me to something that I read, and I don't know if I believe. Singer, songwriter, folk icon Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize. And he didn't go to the ceremony or something. He didn't want to participate, but he finally wrote this Nobel lecture many months after he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. The lecture, traditionally given days before the award ceremony in December, must be delivered by those who accept the award within 6 months. So you do have a 6-month window. So he slipped in his assignment just under the deadline, which is what we would have done in high school,
right,
too. And there's a controversy going on. Numerous outlets have reported that Bob Dylan may have plagiarized part of his lecture that he turned in from Spark Notes during a long passage on Herman Melville's Moby Dick.
Wow.
Now, first of all, I didn't know Spark Notes exists. I will tell my kids about it because I'm telling you, Cliff's Notes.
Is that
Notes,
another app?
I think so. But remember Cliff's Notes?
Yes,
Cliff
I do.
Notes?
Yep.
Oh, my God. They were so helpful.
Yeah. But isn't that kind of cheating?
It is cheating, but see, that's another thing. You know, read this book. I'm glad I had to read the classics, The Scarlet Letter, The Great Gatsby. But, you know, when you're forced to read them in such a short amount of time, none of these kids are reading. I mean, I shouldn't say none.
Well, they're not retaining. I mean, it's really power
reading. And some aren't even reading it.
Right.
So the Cliff Notes, at least you got some kind of, yes, that was cheating, and yes, I'll admit it. But look at Bob Dylan has done it on the Nobel lecture that he put together. It stems from a line in which Bob Dylan appears to directly quote Moby Dick. Here's the line: a Quaker pacifist priest who is actually a bloodthirsty businessman. And then another quote: some men who receive injuries are led to God, others are led to bitterness. One problem is that line never appeared in the actual novel of Moby Dick. It only appears in the Spark Notes bit of it.
But, so is it really plagiarizing?
Well,
he probably forgot to bribe people with bagels. That's the issue here.
Oh, yeah.
It all goes back to bagels.
Going back to reading books and all that, for my college courses, at least half of my courses, I didn't even buy the books. It was a waste. I wouldn't read them anyway, and they were like $200 a pop easily, so I didn't buy them.
So how did you get through the class? And is your mom listening right now?
Didn't you hear me? He's talking about his sister, his older sister.
She helped, you know, she helped me. Yeah, my sister, yeah. But there was one class, too, where it was a large lecture hall class, and I just borrowed the book from my roommate who was in the class with me, and I barely looked at it at all.
With the internet and the apps and the Cliff Notes and... is it really plagiarizing, or is it just so out there? I mean, everything's been done. It's like saying, I'm going to invent a new pizza. Okay, well, it's cheese, sauce, and dough. are you plagiarizing somebody's pizza recipe? Are you, you know, I understand if it's a real specific written piece and there's a line in there that is so solidly yours, then I can say yes. You know, but if you're quoting it or you're referencing it, I mean, that's what everybody does. You know,
can't you just footnote it like we used to do? You used to, I mean, come on. We all had encyclopedias that our parents bought.
Yeah.
And we put them to good use when we were writing some kind of a report. And then you would, you know, put a little a number and attribute it to a footnote. And a lot of times you did write it word for word.
As long as you acknowledge where you got it from. I agree. I mean, most articles today you read are that. You know, they just don't do as much as the notes on the bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's all out there.
It really is.
Take what you want.
Take what you want. It's free. It's the Wild West. It's yours.
It kind of is. Kevin, I'm curious now. I can understand like a big lecture hall where there's, that was something when I first went to Illinois State. I was like, wait, there are like 300 kids in this class. How does this work? How are they going to give me special attention? So I stopped going to classes. Therefore, stopped going to ISU. Exactly. But were they novels or they were just like textbooks to go along with the course?
Mostly textbooks, yeah. But like, I think there was one or two classes that had like a novel included.
And you never read it?
Never read it, never.
Didn't you get tested on that? Didn't you have to write a paper
on that? Yeah, but like, you know, they will give you like a prep sheet for the test and, okay, I can, what is the blank of this? Blah, blah, blah. Google, hello, easy.
See? Is that plagiarizing?
It's cheating.
Why is it cheating?
Cheating. It's the future. It's where everything is today.
What's cheating is the price of these damn books. Are like
I agree with you, Kevin.
It's
you're
crazy.
Right. And where is that money going? Back to the school?
No.
No.
Where's it going?
I don't know where it's going.
Who knows? Who knows?
All right. Ooh, I like your fake rage there, Kevin. That was really fantastic. All right. We have to take a quick break. Then we'll come back and wrap things up here on the stream on WGN. All right, it has been really fun working with you, Frank Fontana.
It always is, Wendy. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. We did miss Bill. I'm glad he's gone.
Who?
Who?
Oh, Bill?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'll be back on Monday. I'm off tomorrow. Pete McMurray will be filling in. And
it'll be Pete and Bill?
No, just Pete tomorrow. Just Bill's Pete. Still off. Bill's back on Monday. Very confusing. It gets like that. And if people want help with your design finesse, how do they reach you?
You can find me on social media, Frank Fontana, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also go to my website, frankfontana.net. Or, hey, listen, right here on WGN Radio 720 on Sundays from 1 to 3. Got my very own show. I've been here for 4 years. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Long time, yeah. Getting some Wendy time in here.
You do a great job,
thank you,
by the way.
I appreciate it. And, I'm learning. I'm a kid. I'm growing in this world.
A kid with bagels.
A kid with bagels and lox. Who bribes his gym teachers. I'm going to teach my kid that.
All right. That's a good plan.
He'll be proud.
You got to grease the wheel with cream cheese.
With cream cheese.
I guess that's how you do it.
And gluten.
Have a great 4th of July, everyone. Frank, you're back this Sunday?
I'll be back this Sunday.
All right. Cool. Thank you for hanging out. Listeners, thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you later.
See ya.